Good morning. It's good to see you this morning and to see the sun shining. I know we got a little snow yesterday, but the snow is gone, at least for a while. And we're in God's house to worship, and I'm so glad that you're here. Yesterday, how many of you did go or got to go and see, or at all, even since Friday, see the Son of God? Awesome, good. I've had some feedback on it. I've not been able to go see it, and I know I wanted to. We all planned on getting together yesterday and seeing it, and I couldn't make it because of the funeral and the things that were happening. What do you think? What's that mean? It was powerful. Good. Anybody else? Okay. Good. Good. Other comments? See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get everybody interested so that those who haven't seen it will go, and also that you know, pass the information on to those who aren't here today so that they want to go. I do think it's a powerful film. I've seen the trailers for it and have been really impressed with it. As a matter of fact, I've got to share a story. I'm going to tell you guys. As you know, I probably don't hold anything back, and I maybe should hold more back than I do, but I'm going to share this with you anyway. I was sitting home last night, and it was 9 o'clock, maybe earlier, and Donna looked at me, and she says, "Do you have your sermon written for tomorrow?" I said, "No." It's been one of those weeks. And she said, "Well, don't you think you should?" I said, I just told her, I said, "It'll be there." And there's those times when the brain is just flat. And this has been one of those weeks where, with everything going on, the brain just went flat. And I was running through things in my mind, and I was thinking about all of the scripture that I know and all of the areas I could go and the things I could do and what the message could be, and it was flat. It just wasn't there. That may be fatigue, or it may be God teaching me a lesson. And then I got a phone call. Renee called me up. And, well, actually, can I tell how this went about? All right. I loved it. I loved it. I'm going to get it. We do have a message today, and I'm going to get into that. But Renee called up, and texted me first. I'm terrible at texting, but she sent me a text, and she said, "What are you doing?" I was half asleep in my recliner with the television going, and they had a movie on that was just, oh my goodness. You know, when there's two gals and one guy, the movies typically change. But so then she sent back, she says, "Oh, well, do you have 5 minutes to talk about Scripture?" "Sure I do, but I'm not going to text back and forth and talk about Scripture. Call me." And she did. And that wasn't a harsh call me. That was a just call me. Okay. and she called me, and we talked about some questions that she had in the Bible and some things she was looking at. But as we were talking, she talked about something she was thinking of, and it's like all of a sudden the light bulb goes on, and God says, "This is the message. This is where I want you to go." As it happens to be, I've preached on this many times, but it's still one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it speaks things like what God tells us or we see from God on how we should care for ourselves, but it also talks about faith. It talks about tragedy. All of these things are in this one story. If you have your Bibles, if you want to look it up, it's Matthew 14. And I start with verse 22 today. here's the thing. It's the story about Jesus, and Jesus is sending his disciples out into the water, and he's going to send them across the lake. Let me set something up with you here. Before I start reading this, understand the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, or the lake, which is really what it is a freshwater lake that the Jordan River feeds, and the lake is fresh and cold. I stepped in it to swim in it, and it just takes your breath away. But the thing is, with the Sea of Galilee, it's so huge, everybody knows that every day a storm will come up on the sea. And today is still that way. In the afternoon, there is going to be an afternoon storm out on the lake. And the water's going to swell up. And the waves are going to get big. It's going to get rough. It always does. Sailors throughout history have always had the understanding, get off the lake before afternoon, before the thing changes. And they knew this. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in a boat, and I want you to cross over to another part of the lake. So he's telling them to do something that didn't make sense to them. They knew the lake. They lived in that area. In the area where this takes place is what's called the Evangelical Triangle. 90% of the ministry of Jesus Christ took place within the Evangelical Triangle. He had more ministry outside of Jerusalem than actually inside Jerusalem. And so he's down along the sea. That's where his ministry takes place. He tells these guys that knew the water, he said, get in the boat. I want you to go across and take that boat out on the water. It didn't make sense. Guys, let me ask you a question. Has God ever asked you to do something that didn't make sense? All the time. But he says, do it, and we do it. Why do we do it? Because of faith. Because of faith. Beginning with verse 22, and I'm breaking this down today. I'm just going to go through this passage and share some thoughts. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. Okay, I want you to know, Jesus starts out strong. Or Jesus did, I'm sorry. The disciples started out strong. Jesus said, do it, we're going to do it. And I think we do that too. There's times when God calls us to do something, and we start out strong. We say, we're going to do it. We're going to move forward, and we're going to do whatever it is that God has asked us to do. We're not going to question it. We're just going to do it. And boy, we feel so faithful when we do that. We feel so powerful that, you know, God said it, and I'm doing it, and that's where things are. Well, you know, the disciples kind of had it easy, because Jesus was right there with them. And Jesus was right there beside them, giving them instructions and giving them directions. And maybe that made it a little easier to listen to. It goes on in verse 23, and it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Why? Why? Nothing ever happens that God wants to happen without prayer. Folks, that's our strength. That's how we communicate with God, and it's through prayer. All too often, we try to do things in our own strength. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do it. And we don't pray. Without prayer, nothing happens that God wants to happen. Jesus knew this. And he also knew what was coming, because as he was going to be doing this sailing in the boat and doing all of the, or going out and the things that were to come and the miracles that were to come, he wanted to pray. Another part of that. Why did he go by himself? Why did he go by himself? He had these disciples or these men that were following him. He needed a rest. What? He needed a rest. He needed to just get away by himself, him and the Father, and find some rest. Talisa and Jean this week, and they'll tell you all about their trip, but they went to North Carolina to the Billy Graham Training Center down in Asheville, North Carolina, and had a great time. But I got a, some of you may have seen it on Facebook, a message. T decided to walk to the top of the mountain there. And she decided to take the steep trail. There's two trails, one's steep, one's not. And she figured she could go up the steep side and come down the easy side. I don't know why she didn't do the easy side both ways. But anyway, and she described when she got up to the top of the mountain, the feeling that she had. And everything just opens up to you, and there's a peace that falls on you when you hit that spot. Often we see where Christ would get away by himself. And the reason he got away by himself was to be rejuvenated. Sometimes we just need alone time with God. Sometimes we just really need to get off by ourselves and pray. I love Kelly. Okay, Dennis, stay on task. And we miss it. I've talked to people this week, actually, and it's just been one of those weeks where you do that we're going on adrenaline, that we're in meltdown mode, and they were tired, and they were exhausted, and efforts had been put into a lot of stuff, and they weren't taking that time to get off and to refresh and to relax. Folks, here's the thing. If Jesus felt it was necessary to get away, and he's the Son of God, shouldn't we do the same? You know, people say, I have to work, 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 work. I have to work hard. I have to do this. I have to really stay at it. Their family misses them. Maybe they get a big paycheck. Whoopee. Here's the truth. I have sat in hospital rooms and in homes with numerous individuals that were dying. I've held their hands. I've talked to them. And I have never in my career had a single person say to me in that moment where they're about to be gone from this world, I wish I would have worked one more hour. Never heard that. I've never heard anybody that I have walked up to that point with where they're leaving this world, I've never heard one person say, I wish I'd earned another dollar. Unfortunately, I've heard many people say, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I would have loved my wife more or loved my husband more. I wish I would have spent more time with my children. These things I hear. But never one more dollar, one more hour. You've got to take the time to get off, to refresh. And you've got to move away from the job sometimes, folks. You've got to move away so that the family can be family. Now, maybe this is on my mind. Maybe this ties in because of a conversation with Renee and just the whole thing that went together as we were talking. And maybe it's the fact of a man the other day, and I'm not going to spend much time talking about this, but a man the other day who was 48 years old, I think, who kissed his wife goodnight And that's the last he ever saw of her or her of him living. Don't we kind of major in the wrong stuff sometime? Don't we get our focus mixed up? I'm so glad they had that final kiss. The truth is, none of us has a guarantee of tomorrow, but we do have today. And we do have the knowledge that Jesus is with us and that he has given us kind of a roadmap to follow with our life. And in that roadmap, he says, take a vacation already. Back away from things and spend time with your family. Spend time with God. Find a place of solitude where you can pray. Here's a novel idea. Pray with your family. Make it special. Have that mealtime where you sit down together and eat and pray before you eat. Jesus decided that he needed to get away by himself and pray. Wouldn't you love to know what that conversation was like? How does the Son of God talk to the Father? What did he say? I'm not venturing a guess, but I know there's another place where he says, if it's possible for this cup to be taken from me, let it be so. And the other thing I know is that when Jesus prayed, it was in the Father's name, and he always said, your will be done, not mine. Reading on, it said, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. First of all, understand this. There were no lights. There were no lights. The boat didn't have lights. There was nothing in the sky. There were no places or on the shore that you could really see lights. We're talking darkness. And these men are trying to keep the boat from going under. And they're scared. And they're looking out on the lake. And in this darkness, they see Jesus. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. Now, wait a minute. What happened? What happened? These guys, Jesus said, go do this. And their faith was strong and their faith was great. And they said, okay, we're out of here. We're gone. What happened? The storm comes up. The sea gets rough. They knew that was going to happen. It's the Sea of Galilee. What happened that when they're out there and everything's going on, all of a sudden it says they were afraid. Where was their faith in the midst of the storm? What happened when the storm came? What did they turn to? Jesus said, go do it. If Jesus says, go do it, it's going to be all right. Where was their faith? And we're the same way. The storms come. And the storms of life come. And we're walking through, or a lot of you are walking through those storms right now, today. And you have things going on in your life that you wish they weren't. You have things that you're struggling with, you know, with families or jobs or finances or whatever it is. Relationships. I don't. And Jesus is still there, but what are you turning to? I got to figure this one out for myself. I got to do this one myself. I don't know if Jesus is big enough to take care of this problem, of this burden. Can he put it together? It said they were afraid. They said it's a ghost. And they literally cried out in fear. Here's these men. They're men of the land, men of the sea. They're fishermen. They know all of these things. And I wonder when I hear that, they cried out in fear. I was kayaking a couple of years ago, and the people that were kayaking with me, there's a guy along, you know, and you know, us guys have deep voices, and you know, when we scream or yell, it's got to be you know, it's a kind of a manly type thing. And as we're paddling along, and we're kayaking, and we hit a set of rapids, and I shot through the rapids. It was fun. It was a blast, and I enjoyed it. But the guy behind me, he hit the rough water, and he comes into the rough water, and his kayak flips, and this is what he did. Afterwards, he says, did I scream like a girl? I said, you sure did. And guess what? I'll never let you forget it. I wonder about these guys in the boat. They're scared. They cried out in fear. I wonder if they screamed like a girl. I don't know. But it's interesting how quickly their faith turned to fear. And something was happening that they just didn't understand. Jesus told us we were going to be saved. He said, go get in the boat. Go on out to sea. Go do this. And we did it, and we're doing it. But now it looks like we're going to sink. We're going to capsize. We're going to drown out here. Jesus, as we read on, immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. If there's a message here today for you, take courage. Don't be afraid. It's Jesus. Oh, Peter. I like Peter. I don't know if he just plain wanted to get out of the boat, if he'd lost his mind because he was so afraid, or was he really trusting? And he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Did Peter have more faith than the other guys? I don't think so. I think Peter wanted out of the boat. And I also think Peter was wanting something to hope for. I think Peter was wanting something to grab onto, and he was really wanting to use his faith to be strong. And we see where Jesus says, come. And Peter, it says, then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Picture the scenario. Boats being tossed, storms everywhere. They see a figure coming across the lake, and Peter says, I'll come to you. The waves are so high, they're swamping the boat, it's tilting, it's turning. And Jesus says, come, it is I. And Peter steps out of the boat. Imagine what that first step was like. Did we test it a little bit? You know? No, he steps out of the boat. But where are his eyes? Where would your eyes be? I'd be looking at Jesus. I'd be looking at Jesus because he's the one that told me to come. And so he gets out of the boat and he starts walking toward Jesus. There wasn't a sunken log. There was nothing for him to walk on. It was just water. I've often wondered what that would feel like, and I don't think it'd feel like ice. But then something happens. And I think it's the same thing that happens to us. It says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He saw the wind. He looked at the storm. He said, this storm is too great. This situation is too hard. This thing I can't ride out is just too much. Look at these waves. Uh-oh. The boat's way back there, and Jesus is here. How can this be? How can I get through this storm? And he starts looking around. And he realizes that it's getting worse. And he began to sink. Did he go down three times? I don't know. But he began to sink. And in desperation, he cried out, Lord, save me! Suddenly, when all was lost and he thought there was no more hope and he thought he was going to die, suddenly he realized Jesus is still there where he was before the storm started, where he has been in the midst of the storm, and where he's going to be after the storm. He is still there, and he's still looking at me, and he's still waiting for me, and he's still willing to help me. And I've got to get my focus back on Jesus Christ so that I can get my life back on Jesus Christ. I got to get my focus to where I quit looking at the storms and all the terrible things going on and those things that are going to destroy my life or my home or my family or anything. I got to quit looking at them. Because the more I look at my problems, the deeper I go. To the point that I'm saying, woe is me, all is lost. That's not what God has designed for us. And so Peter looks up and he cries out. He says, Lord, save me. And as we read on, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Question today. For everybody here that's either in the midst of a storm, going into the storm, or coming out of a storm, why do you doubt? There is nothing, absolutely nothing that God can't take care of. There is nothing that he can't heal. There's nothing that he can't fix. There's no broken heart that he can't mend. The problem is, we have to let him. And, you know, we get so excited about our problems. And we run and we talk to people and we tell people, this is what's going on in my life and I feel bad and blah, 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 and all of this terrible stuff that's happening. And we talk to people about it and then we listen to what people have to say and then we make our ideas and make our decisions based on what somebody has said. And we fail to talk to the one that can really do something about it. You know those people that come around you when you have troubles and struggles and problems? They've got the same troubles and struggles and problems themselves, and they've not solved them. And they're going to give you advice? Oh, we love to do that. And when we do that, we really miss the will of God. Why do we listen to people rather than Jesus? Can anybody tell me? Why do we do that? I don't know. It's been tried and tried and tried again in my life, and I know that when I've had problems and struggles and issues in my life, God has always been there. So why do I either try to control them myself or listen to somebody else? Now, don't get me wrong. You may have a good, godly friend that says to you, let's go to prayer and let's pray and see how God wants this handled. Or you may have a friend that's just going to tell you what they can tell you. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Now think about this. These guys have been scared to death. They see Peter get out of the boat, and then they see Peter sinking. And now all of a sudden, here comes Peter and here comes Jesus, and they're walking toward the boat, and they climb in the boat. And Jesus looks out to the storm, and he calms the sea, he calms the wind, he calms the storm. That was the point where we see that they worshiped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. After the storm, after he had done what he needed to do, then they worshiped him. What would have happened if they would have worshiped him in the midst of the storm? Folks, don't look at the storm, look at Jesus. They believed because what they saw, and so do we. When they'd crossed over, they landed at a region known as Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. And people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. The prayer shawl, the cloak that he would have been wearing, has tassels hanging from it. And when you study and you read about people touching Jesus, really what they did is they just touched the hem of the garment. In other words, they just touched that tassel at the very bottom of that shawl. That's all it took. But they also believed. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And no matter what, all I have to do is get close to him, and everything's going to be okay. Simple lesson, isn't it? It's a simple passage. God does not complicate things. We complicate things. God says, I have the answer, and I'm here for you. And we have to wait until we've totally blown it before we call on him. But what I'm telling you today is whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is, God's here for you. You today are one of three things. You're going into the storm, or you're in the storm, or you're just coming out the other side. And if you're just coming out the other side, let me tell you, there'll be times when you're right back in the storm. There'll be times when you have to practice this over and over and over. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to be believing. And Satan doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to be able to enjoy your Christian life. He wants to defeat you. So there's going to be more storms. Understand this. The more times you look to Jesus for answers, the stronger you become. And Satan begins to back off. And you learn how to be close to God. So this morning, would you bow your heads? We're going to pray. And I don't know the issues in your life. I don't know what's going on. But I know Jesus. And I know that he has the answers. You've just got to give them to him. You got to give your problems to him and let him work through those storms. So as we pray this morning, my prayer is that you would just give it up and give it to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, the message today is a simple message, but it's one of the most important lessons we can learn. We learn today, Father, that we rely on you through all the storms of life. We learn today that Jesus has modeled for us what we should do and that we need to be praying. That we pray before the storms come, we pray in the midst of the storm, and we pray when we're coming out of it. We pray that our faith would be strong. And that even though we don't see and we don't understand everything in life and everything that's going on, Father, we pray that we would have enough faith to trust you, to lay things down before you and to leave them there. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would touch the lives and the hearts of those here today and provide healing. Father, we pray for those who are not here for various reasons today, and I pray that you would be with them. Lord, just give us strength that we would trust you in all that you are. We lift this up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.